And good morning and welcome to my Monday, even though it's Wednesday, okay? It's one of those days where, praise God, we're here alive and well and in the flesh and in good health and good humor. We give God all the honor and all the praise, but today is November the 30th, and you know, I came in here writing down November the 29th, thinking, oh, there's one more day left in November. But no, today is the 30th. Where? How did I miss the 29th? I must have been sleeping.
I've done that before. I lost track of days before like that.
Okay, now, welcome to A Voice of a People, live here with Linda Sims on WGH Talk. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. Also, you can find our archives there, and you can scroll down to Linda Sims, A Voice of a People, and also listen to the many programs that have been taped and recorded, okay? Also, you have the opportunity to download a free app. Go into your Play Store or your App Store and download an app called TuneIn. And once you do that, please search WWGH. Okay, now this is free. It is free. That way you can listen to the many talk show programs we have to offer you. Okay? Or call in during a live broadcast like today, by calling 740-383-9944 if you have any questions or if you would like to make any comments. Please do so. We're also anticipating many, many calls from you. If not now, definitely in the future. Okay, now let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People. And we will start today with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist. I know many of you may get tired of that, but you know what? These people have been with me down through the years, and I really appreciate their support. And it's a continued support. Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC. His location is 1325 North Main Street in Marion, Ohio. Phone number there is 740-382-8552. We also have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Phone there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Their ongoing announcement is free produce every third Saturday of every month. Now take note, this will be the last free produce. It will take place December the 17th of 2022. It begins at 12 noon until 2 p.m. But please take note, they stop until April, and that will be 2023. Wow. 2023. Oh, and since I brought that up, there's only 25 days till Christmas.
Wow.
And what? 31 days until 2023.
New Year's.
1 month away. Oh, my. Who's making their plans and who's getting their New Year's resolutions together? I guess if you haven't, and if you do that as a trend of yourself or your family, you better get busy and start making your plans for 2023. And we will be doing some programs about what to expect in the new year and where to put your trust and put your faith. All right, last but not least, Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 30 years of experience working for you. The owner is Cheryl Lee. The location is LaRue, Ohio. Phone there is 740-262-0939. And thank you to all of you who are faithful listeners and faithful supporters. Thank you. And if it is your first time, I pray it will not be your last time. Okay, I'd like to start my show off with a thought for today. And since I was behind time, I chose the first one I ran to. Or, you know, true winning is accepting, not resisting. True winning is accepting, not resisting. If you ever find yourself defending a position, explaining why, or justifying anything, it means you have been defeated. It means you have not been able to accept the other's point of view or the fact that you may be wrong. Fear has conquered your mind and your heart. Your defenses are up and you are running scared. It's not that the other person has conquered you. It's the self-created fear that is in control. Until you can accept the other, you don't have to agree. And you are not threatened by the other. Your victories will be delayed. It's a funny old world when true winning is accepting, not resisting. When victory is found in the wisdom of stop fighting and to begin engaging. Okay, hopefully it was a long thought for today, but hopefully you found something in there that you can relate to, and if so, maybe you can share with other people. Now I will turn my attention to my guest today, Jeff Porter. How you doing today?
I'm here.
Oh, praise God. I'm so glad you're here. So glad, so glad, so glad.
I'm kind of having a Monday, too, so.
I'm sure a lot of people
couldn't
are, right?
Get wound up or something.
Oh, my, 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 my. But you're here.
I'm here. I made it.
Safe. Without any hurt.
Actually on time.
Yes, you were. Yes, you were.
So, what's going on?
Well, okay. Now, last I saw you was before Thanksgiving, right?
Was it?
It had to be.
Okay, all right.
I think so.
How was your Thanksgiving?
It was great.
Was it?
Yes,
okay.
It was. I really enjoyed myself. Yes.
Good.
How was yours?
It was okay.
Okay.
It was all right.
Okay. Were you among friends and family?
I was at home eating meatloaf.
Meatloaf?
Yeah.
You didn't even go by the drive-thru and get your Thanksgiving dinner?
Uh-uh.
You forgot?
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking Jeff probably went by there and got his Thanksgiving dinner.
Did they have
Logos.
It on Thanksgiving Day?
No,
did they?
The day before, remember?
The day before?
You were here that day,
yeah.
I think, and I announced it. Go by and get your drive-through, pick up Thanksgiving
should
dinner.
Have.
Yeah, you should have. Wow. Well.
The meatloaf was good.
Well, great. Great. At least you had something. You weren't out there starving, right?
That's right.
Amen.
That's the main thing.
Amen. Amen. So what's on your mind today? I know you had some things on your mind when I first greeted you this morning. And
well, I was talking about the bunch of tornadoes that hit in Mississippi. They warned 2 or 3 days ahead of time.
That was great.
That, there was a very big possibility of tornadoes there because of the way the weather was developing. But they weren't kidding.
Hmm.
It's about 12, 15 tornadoes that hit, more than that maybe. And the damage was extensive down there, you know. So we don't be short on tornadoes these days. But I, you know, it didn't seem like when I was a kid growing up, you didn't have tornadoes in November. Just and this close to December, you know, you had tornadoes in the spring. You know, so that's a little bit unusual.
Out of season.
Yes.
But does it matter what part of the country you live in?
Well, yeah, a lot of times it does. You know, out west they get a lot more tornadoes than in the northeast area and stuff like that. But there's always some kind of weather that's going to get you wherever
right.
You live. You know, we live in a really good, stable part of America, you know. We don't get hurricanes. The last time we had an earthquake was, I remember, it's when the shuttle had its accident. And way back in, what, the 1980s?
Space shuttle.
Yeah. And we had a very slight earthquake. So we don't get the forest fires and the hurricanes and all that. So we're in pretty good shape here. We do get bad weather. I mean, you know, winter weather. But it's not as bad like Buffalo. They got like 5 feet of snow this year already.
Hmm.
No, thank you.
I know that's right.
Oh, no. I remember that blizzard we had in 78. Most people didn't even forget that. We still talk about that.
Yes.
You know, and I remember I went over to help my dad. I was trying to help him get out of the garage, and we opened the garage door, and we just kept pushing it up, and there was snow all the way up to the top. You know, we had to dig our way out of the garage to begin with to even get at the driveway. You know, it took all day.
How many were digging?
Me and my dad. That's about it.
Whoa. Yeah, I know Dave Harriff. I'm going to throw his name out there. He's already put it on Facebook several times. The Blizzard of 78. Boy, we need snow. And you know he's a man that loves snow,
yeah.
Right? The more the merrier for some
people.
We're
trying to understand that.
Right. Now, let me remind you, those of you who are listening, and maybe it's your first time meeting Jeff Porter. He is an author of a book entitled Expressions of the Last Days. And he came in with that heavy on his heart about the storms that had taken place in southern United States. So,
Tennessee, Mississippi, what else is down there? Kentucky.
Louisiana.
Yeah, they all had tornadoes.
Wow.
The Weather Channel was warning about that 2 or 3 days ahead. There, I kept watching it because they were saying this. Now, this is very severe weather, you know. If you can, pack up and go somewhere for a while. Some of them, I think they should have.
Yeah. And some people may have had the means to do that, but some people don't, you know. Maybe more don't than the people who are
able
to do that, you know. So,
maybe they don't watch the Weather Channel.
Right. But, you know, sometimes those places have buildings or structures of like a safe haven that people can come to, you know,
yeah,
and lie on cots or whatever, and they provide water and some snacks for them until the storm has passed over. Now, we're talking about last day stuff.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And I say stuff because, you know, like you also mentioned earlier, a lot of people don't believe that. And you were also sharing with me about someone saying that Armageddon had already happened. Who was that?
Oh, yeah, I was going to a church. It depends on the pastor. You know,
right.
It don't always depend on the denomination. But he did a big, long thing trying to show that the book of Revelation had already taken place. And you run into that. I've run into that before. Different places, and I said, are you going to tell me that you really believe that Armageddon's already taking place? Because Matthew 24 includes Armageddon and also that the second return of Jesus in there. So how do you reconcile that? You know, Jesus hasn't returned yet, so how does that work? So I think a lot of times it's just fear. You know, you got people that come up to the pastor all the time and, oh, no, you know, is this the last days? Are we all going to be killed? Da-da-da-da-da, you know. And the pastor gets tired of it and says, well, the book of Revelation's already taken place, you know.
So you think they're pressured from the congregation?
Yeah, a lot of times I think they are.
But doesn't that defeat the purpose of help leading people to be saved?
Yeah, you know, I think if you're going to read about the last days, you're going to be aware of the last days, it should be something that changes your heart. If you're a skeptic, the warnings in there of the terrible judgments that are about to come upon the world, and that's another thing, at least probably about 2/3 of the world population will be killed during the book of Revelation, and a lot of people worry about that. It's no use worrying about it. You know, you need to get saved is what it is. You know, you just need to accept Jesus into your heart and be born again, you know. I've talked to many people that say, oh, my boyfriend don't like it when you talk about Revelation. I remember that happening in the bus, you know. And I said, why is that? What's he afraid of, you know? But the bottom line for them was they needed to get saved.
Mm-hmm.
They needed to accept Jesus as their Savior. Because, you know, you don't have to be killed by anything that happens during the time of Revelation. You walk out your front door and get run over by a truck, and that's the end of your life, and then you're going to have to face judgment anyways, you know. You could lose your life at any time. It's no guarantee. You know.
I was thinking that getting out of the shower this morning. There is no guarantee on this earth but God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether we're going to get here safe, even be on the air, you know, whether our loved ones are safe, what the day's going to hold, and, you know, whatever things may pop up during the day, there's no guarantee. Even from the time we wake up that we're going to be here later today.
That's right. But if you've asked Jesus to come into your heart and been born again, if you lose your life on this world, then you go be in heaven. So there's nothing to worry about there, but if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, there's a much different eternity to worry about. I think that's why a lot of times people who are skeptical of the gospel and are also worried about their life, you know, how long they're going to live or what could happen to them.
Right.
And I'm just trying to tell you to be prepared for what's coming, because sticking your head in the sand is not going to, being an ostrich, sticking your head in the sand trying to avoid the subject is not going to help you when it hits, you know.
True, true. And also, you were talking about people being so negative. Just negativity against the things that,
You know, when I first, I did my first interview with this station, that was with Scott Spears, but there was another guy in there. I don't know if he was a farmer or what, and he said, "I just can't stand people like you going around pronouncing the end of the world." You know, but I think what it is they're scared. You know, they're afraid of what's coming. And I said, and that's what I told him, I said, you know, you need to get saved. If you are that afraid of the last days, then you need to accept Jesus.
Oh, I remember what. Again. Right, absolutely. I remember what it was. Now you were talking about the about the great apostasy.
Ah, that is one of the biggest signs of the end, I think. Now the world out there, the unbelieving world, they don't have a clue. You know, as to what's going on inside of Christianity, they don't care. They don't have any interest in it. But people, and an awful lot of churches don't know what's mm-hmm. going on, because they themselves have fallen away, you know. And so they're taken over by prosperity mostly, but there's other doctrines. This idea that we're supposed to pamper everybody and be all Mr. Positive and tell them only positive things about life, which is lopsided. Yes, it's lopsided to talk about all the negative things that are going to happen. But you know, Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven. And he was trying to warn people, mm-hmm. you know, so they wouldn't end up there.
You know?
So, I had some relatives that they almost every time I would bring up the subject, you know, I'd say, well, this event here definitely has to do with the last days, you know, God trying to warn us, and stop that, you know, it's not the end, he's always trying to tell us this is the end. Well, we went through a period, it seemed like, this was years ago, where every day something was happening, you know, and they finally came around to believing that we're in the last days, but it's hard to convince people, because Jesus did say no man knows the day or the hour.
Of course not.
But all we can do is watch events.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And be ready, like you said earlier. Be ready.
One of the big reasons why I try to warn people is because in the midst of this tribulation thing, you know, I believe that, first of all, we're going to experience, the United States experience economic collapse, which, according to some of the experts, if things continue the way they are in America and with our debt, we could be experiencing economic collapse, and not just a depression, but total collapse of our government and our financial system. That would be quite something. America is being the most powerful nation in the world, responsible for 2/3 of the world's commerce, and if America goes under, It's just like pulling the stopper out of a bathtub. So goes the rest of the world. So during that time, probably we will experience worldwide economic collapse. That's why I believe that it says that Babylon will fail, you know. And the whole world will be in this financial turmoil.
So you believe that United States represents Babylon, or Babylon represents United States?
I believe that it really represents the whole unbelieving world.
Oh, okay. Really. The unbelieving world.
Yes, because they'll be experiencing a total collapse of a financial system. You know, it's been under Satan's control for a long time anyways, but now it would just completely collapse.
Hmm.
And your money, you just take it and throw it in the streets, you know.
Won't be any good.
Gold, throw that in the streets. Silver, none of it's any good. So.
And there's a scripture on that, too. You brought it to my remembrance when you said throwing your gold and stuff in the street. But before we go there, I would like for you to read scripture on the weather that you have been talking about, and you know, even what's going on in the world, in the nations, and the wars, and all that, you know, and rumors of war that we're dealing with. And Jeff will be reading from Luke 21.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember, what was it, just a few months ago that, I know Putin's mostly just hot air, but he put all of his forces on full nuclear alert for a while there, for a few days. And it made me kind of nervous. I wonder if we're going to wake up in the morning, you know?
Right, right.
So I'm not immune from it, you know. I get kind
of
nervous sometimes.
Of course not. But your soul is in the right place. You've put your trust in the
right
one.
That's
right.
If I don't wake up, then I'll wake up in heaven.
Right. In the Lord's presence.
But woe unto them that are with child, and to them who give suck in those days. There shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon the people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive unto all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles until the times that they can be fulfilled. Well, that's really already happened. The Jews have already occupied Israel. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear of looking after those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then, of course, we have the second return of Christ.
What's coming on the nation? Let me get my headphones on. I had to look for this and look for that, and take my headphones off, take my glasses off. Let me get resituate again. Perplexity means inability to deal with or understand what's going on. Complicated also means things that are complicated and unaccountable.
Mm-hmm. I remember when I was unsaved, but I still. It's really strange. I still had this fascination with last days and Revelation and stuff when I was unsaved. And these people came around. They were Christians. I don't know what church they were from and everything, but I said, we would like to talk to you about Christ. I said, what can you tell me about Bible prophecy, Revelation, and all that? And they looked at each other and said, I'm sorry, sir, we don't know anything about it.
Wow.
So even back then, they were denying the last days prophecies.
They didn't understand it, nor were they trying to understand it.
No. And you run into that a lot today. Run into that tremendous amount of that today.
So true. So true. Well.
And I remember I went to this. They have this thing called Emmaus, and a lot of churches attend that. You know, you go there. It's not really just a getaway. It's more like a teaching thing. You know. Oh, thank you. No coffee today, huh?
Brenda's not here.
Aw. Wish I'd have known that. I would have stopped and got some.
I didn't bake any cookies either. I thought about that.
It's just one of those days, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, but I don't worry about that because I run into that a lot. You know, people not believing we're in the last days. Kind of gets on my nerves, but I try not to show it. But how, you know, a friend of mine, we were talking about that. She said, how can you not know we're in the last days? You know?
Mm-hmm.
All these tremendous things happening in the world, and they're denying that we're in the last days. How can you do that?
Easy.
Know.
They don't believe it. It's unbelief.
Yeah.
That's what we're dealing with. It's unbelief.
All the way around.
All the way. They don't believe, and you can't change their minds. Unless the Lord touched their hearts, you know, they won't be saved. And, you know, I share this with other people. God understands that all will not be saved. He said, I wish that all would be saved. That's
God
meaning.
God is not willing that any should perish.
Right.
That all should come to repentance.
Yes. Know? So, in other words, he's saying everybody's not going to believe. Everybody's not going to receive my word. And then he says, hell enlarges itself every day. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. There are so many people living this world that have not received Christ as their Lord and Savior from sin, or believe that He is the Son of God,
mm-hmm.
or have not accepted Him as their Lord, which is ruler, master. Okay.
I'm running into so many people
owner.
That almost everybody claims to be a Christian in this country, you know.
I know you.
And, there's no sign that they really have accepted Jesus, but, you know, that's hard to get at because if a person is confessing to be a Christian, but you know they're not by their actions and their words, you can tell they're not really born again.
The Bible says you will know them by their fruits.
Yes.
The way they live their life. How they talk, how they walk. So, you may hear munching and crunching. Forgive us this morning. Late breakfast.
So that's why we have this, you know, in Matthew 24, it says that the wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, also Luke 21, the sea and the waves roaring. These things are meant to wake people up.
Right, signs.
People that, this especially those types that claim to be Christians, and they don't understand the bad weather, they don't understand the earthquakes and all that. I've asked people, I didn't even talk about the Bible, I said, what do you think causing all these earthquakes? And I mean, they don't deny that there are an awful lot of earthquakes these days.
Right.
Bad weather and tornadoes and stuff, and they try to say that the government can do some kind of scientific thing to change the weather and get it back to normal. And I say they'll never get to that point where they can play God.
What do they consider Mother Nature to be?
I don't know.
Mother Nature is the signs and wonders that are performed in the sky and on the earth and beneath the sea that man cannot explain. How in the world can he have control over those things?
I remember this lady talking on the internet. There was a city in China that was in trouble because of the weather, and their dam was in danger of breaking. And they thought they could do that weather change thing,
mm-hmm.
you know. But one day that dam broke and nobody survived.
See there? God allows man to do all he can to fix the problems on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll do something to let him know, well, all your efforts without me are vain.
Mm-hmm.
They're going nowhere. Except I be a part of what you're doing, you will not have any victory. And it's so hard for us to get that in our head, in our minds. Now we get up in the morning and think we rule the day.
I very seldom feel that way about it. The day usually has its own way.
It does, because God has already ordered the day. We just wake up into it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you can wake up, the sun's already up.
Right.
You know, he didn't have anything to do with that.
No, he didn't say, Jeff, can the sun rise?
Yeah, can I make the sun come up this morning? Come on. We had a really beautiful summer, really.
I think so, too.
Really nice summer.
That's God's grace. Didn't have to be. He deemed it so. Not us, you know. No control.
That's right.
None. No control. And that's where men fail, because just like Adam in the garden, he wanted to control. Eve wanted him to control it, and he wanted to control it.
Well, some people are control freaks.
True.
And they want to control not only their own life, but everybody else's. I try to tell everybody what to do, because they're so well informed, I guess.
Yes.
Well, I think it's best to get away from a person like that. You just end up in conflict, more than likely.
I think the best company is to be around people that are humble.
Yeah. And they're not trying to control everything. But, you know, you have your rich people, and, you know, they don't have to worry about, most of the time, they don't have to worry about their car breaking down or, you know, not having enough of this and that, because they got the money to cover it. But there comes a day when their health fails them.
Right.
And they can't get their health back. That's one thing they can't control, see.
No.
And, you know, look at these movie stars and stuff. You know, up there, people super rich and stuff. They end up in divorce and bad health and, you know, all kinds of court battles. Fighting over the kids, divorce, you know. So what do they really have control of?
Nothing.
Not really.
Not one little thing.
So someday they'll come home and they'll realize, I'm in a divorce, my house is falling apart, my health is falling apart, and I can pour tons of money into this and it just doesn't seem to fix it. Well, God's trying to tell you something, man. You know that money is not the answer. Jesus is the answer.
Right.
Jesus was born into poverty and died in poverty. I don't think a lot of people realize that, because we have movies about Jesus and the disciples and all that, it's usually all nice and cleaned up and everything. Everybody's nice and squeaky clean.
Right, absolutely.
You know, did have that day when a person tripped over a rock and hurt their foot or something and they can't go with them and all that stuff? I'm sure that stuff happened. You know. And you wonder that sometimes when you get that feeling from movies and stuff that everything's just so perfect for them and they can challenge anything and they can overcome anything. But in real life, sometimes the only thing you can do is hang on and not give up. You know?
That's so true.
Don't give up, that's all. You know, let God take control.
He that endures until the end shall be saved.
And that doesn't mean just until the end of the world, but the end of your life. You know, endure whatever you got to endure as a Christian. Being a Christian ain't no walk in the park a lot of times, you know. Sometimes we'll have a bunch of stuff wrong and God will heal us and deliver us, and then we'll turn right around and have to face a bunch more stuff, different stuff, you know. And that's not fun.
No, it's not. And a lot of that comes from not putting your trust in God.
Yeah, but he puts us through some fires.
Yes, he does.
He allows us to go through some fires to mature us.
To test our faith. Yes, he does.
Is your faith better than, stretched out better than it was a few years ago?
I'd like to hope so in certain areas, yeah. But not every area, you know.
No, but I mean, you know, are you stronger than you were a few years ago?
Oh, I'm sure.
Well, that's God teaching you.
Mm-hmm.
Stretching your faith.
Right.
Show you... I mean, you know, I look back on some of the stuff I put myself through when I was on the bus, you know, getting involved with the wrong person and all that. And if that happened today, I wouldn't even have even come close to messing with that.
Mm.
You know, I would have left that alone. No, thank you. I don't need that. That person I got involved with died from Valium, overdose of Valium later on.
Really?
Yeah.
How
she
sad.
She thought she was immune from that. You know.
Oh.
She kept taking more and more of these. She was addicted to prescription drugs. And she kept taking more and more, going, well, my body's more used to it than, you know, most people.
Yeah, take you right out of here. Sleep, you just sleep right away.
Yeah. And they found her on a couch. Face had turned purple and she wouldn't wake up, so they eventually life flighted her to Columbus, but it didn't help. She just slipped away anyways. That wasn't too bright.
No, it wasn't, and her trust was in the wrong thing, just like, you know, and it's not just them, you know, none of us are can say that we're perfect in this area of faith and we're perfect in that area of faith, because we are not.
No.
Each day that we live, we are challenged. God challenges us each and every day. Well, where is your faith? Are you going to trust me today? You know, it doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect because you trusted God for today. Because there's still a time for everything, as we know in Ecclesiastes, right? Time to live, time to die, time to laugh, time to cry, time to get up in the morning, time to lay down and rest at night. So... There
that
is.
Sounds so good.
They're sleeping, right? And I know exactly what you're talking about, because it was hard for me to get up this morning, and I think that was because that wind was blowing.
Yeah, boy, I could hear that.
Yes, and it was lowering the temperatures, and you're in your warm bed.
You kind of look out the window and go, ew, it's all gray, cloudy,
right.
Rainy. Ew.
Do I have to get out, right?
Don't have to go out in that, do I?
Oh, boy, I tell you. But that's how we are. Are we always complaining or about something? We will find something to complain about.
Yeah, we will.
Before the day is gone.
Human nature.
Oh, goodness. Lord, help us all. Help us all, Lord. Help us all.
You know, you sit there and a neighbor's dog wouldn't shut up last night. Arf, 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 arf. I thought, you know, if I got up at like 4 o'clock in the morning and got myself that pump shotgun.
Poor neighbor's dog.
Oh, I couldn't do that, though. Because he barks and he acts ferocious, but... He's a little baby, you know. He wouldn't hurt you. I don't think he would. He got out a couple of times last week. I don't know how he was doing it, but he was out. And he just goes out in my front yard and starts barking at the neighbors across the street. I don't know what that's all about.
Right.
That's what he did every time. I don't think they even have a dog over there. Why he was barking at them, I don't know. Maybe he wants them to adopt him.
That's the joys of living.
Yeah.
That's the joys of life. You have something to look back and laugh about. You know, like you said, it may have crossed your mind about the gun, but you did not get the gun. You did not shoot the dog, right? So that's still...
Oh, you know, what's really bad is they had this other dog. It was a kind of a white and black guy, and somebody broke his neck.
Oh, no.
Yeah, hit him with a great big piece of wood or something, because he's walking around with his head hanging down, and he finally died. But that's because of that barking, just constant barking.
Wow.
I say, if you're going to have a dog, you got to somehow keep him from barking all the time, because it drives people crazy. Why am I talking about that?
I don't know, but that's so sad.
Well, let's just talk about, you know, I heard Joyce Meyer saying, I saw her this morning for a little bit. She said, you know, you come to a meeting like this, and you get yourself a Joyce Meyer t-shirt and a pin and everything, maybe even get a Bible or something like that, and you're thinking about all the stuff you should be learning, whatever you might be learning. And then you go down to the local coffee shop, and somebody, you know, maybe the clerk back there is acting bad and treating you bad and everything, and you go off on them. You know, you're just now, they're teaching you to not be doing that, you know. How could I do that after all that preaching on that, and then I turn around and just to completely dump everything I learned, you know. But I don't go off on people like I used to, but I used to do that all the time.
But if you can walk away from something that is so rich about the Word of God and being in the presence of God, then you didn't learn.
Yeah.
You didn't learn. You didn't take anything away from it. You were just there for the moment, you know.
Because, or you just haven't matured enough yet to really walk in it.
Right. Didn't learn. Right. Didn't take it on, you know. You have to put the, like you're putting on a garment. You have to put things on, you know, when you're in those type of conferences. I'm going to walk away with this, you know. You take your promise.
I'm a big advocate of small Bible studies, discussion groups, because you get to know the people. I always walk away with something, you know, from those discussion groups. They've helped me a lot. I realized after a while how much I had matured because I just wasn't yelling at people like I used to, you know. And actually, Satan would provoke situations, you know, have somebody get up in your face. And I was sitting there thinking, I don't remember doing anything to this guy. What's his problem? You know?
We're out of time.
Oh, we are.
The first hour is over. Stay tuned for the second hour with Jeff Porter, author of Expressions of the Last Days. We will be doing a little bit more Bible study in the next hour. Hopefully, you have time to spend with us. We thank Jeff for his time, author of Expressions of the Last Days. Until next time, be blessed. Thank you.
This is WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP Marion, Ohio, your place for holiday fun. For legendary talk show host Dick Cavett, reading Twas the Night Before Christmas.
It was the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. And the children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief, and I in my cap, had just settled down for a long winter's nap. When, out on the lawn, there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter. And away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below, when what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer, and with a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles, his coursers they came. And he whistled, and he shouted, and he called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer, and Vixen. Oh, Comet, on Cupid, on Donner, and Blitzen. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now dash away, dash away, dash away all. End quote. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky, So up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with the sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas too. And then, in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each tiny hoof. As I drew in my hand and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound, and was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all